Thank you very much, Carla, for coming and for singing so well for us this evening. Let's come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Do thank Dennis again for his kind words of invitation and welcome. Though he has insulted me tonight, my singing career has been brought to a halt. I was fancied trying out an X Factor, but I don't think I'll bother now. He's quite right about my singing. And he was quite right about Carla's singing, but I think he's wrong with his geography. I don't think Macrofelt's in County Antrim unless it has moved. He's just moved the whole of Macrofelt into Tomb Bridge. I don't think that's going to go down well at all. Anyway, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Good to be here. Thank you for coming out. And we do look to the Lord to bless this evening. Luke 23, and reading at verse number 39. Please, Luke 23, and reading from verse number 39. These verses will be well known, and indeed the account that I want to look at this evening is something I'm sure that most are aware of here again this evening. Luke 23, and reading from verse number 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're very conscious that when we come to handle the Word of God, we're handling something very precious. We're even more conscious, Lord, when we come to Calvary. We're at a very precious place. And so, Lord, we pray you'll give help tonight. We pray, Lord, that we might know the infilling and liberty and power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask tonight that there'll be a stillness in the meeting. And Lord, that you'll be pleased to speak tonight. May the hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces move in hard and perhaps stubborn hearts this evening. We pray that salvation blessing would visit this place. For it's in and through our Savior's name we pray. Amen. It's not often the Queen makes a slip of the tongue. It's not often she's caught off guard saying something that perhaps she rather wouldn't have been recorded. Recently she said something about the Chinese visitors that had come to prepare the way for the Chinese emperor to come. She said they were very rude. And of course the camera picked it up, the sound picked it up, and I'm sure the Queen was very embarrassed. Most of us, I'm sure, at times have let our tongue slip. Many of us, I'm sure, at times have put our foot in our mouths. We have said something and we wish we could take it back. There's one exception to that rule, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He never said anything wrong. Indeed, the Word of God tells us that never man spake like this man. And when we come to Calvary, we come to a very special place. And if you were to listen to the Lord Jesus at Calvary, you'll hear him cry seven times from the cross. How precious those words are. How precious to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then we come to the saying that we've read this evening, when the Lord Jesus Christ would look upon this dying thief and say, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It's amazing tonight. It's amazing who said those words, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing where he said those words, hanging on a cross. He's about to die. And I'm sure you and I could have excused the Lord. We could have forgiven the Lord. We could have understood if he only had a thought of himself. Even for that time, he's hanging on the cross. If his old thought would have been what he had to endure, what he had to go through. And yet he's interested in this lousy thief. He's calling out to him for salvation. It's amazing when you think of who said it. It's amazing when you think of where he was when he said it. It's amazing when you think of who he said it to, a dying thief. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." On these three crosses on Golgotha's hill, there was one who was dying for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one dying to sin, this thief that would repent and be saved. And there was one dying in sin. And what a sad case that is, that he would die in sin and go to a lost eternity. The center cross was a cross of redemption, where this thief that we've been reading about this evening was hanging became a cross of reception. The other cross became a cross of rejection. One was a dying Savior. One was a dying saint. And one was a dying sinner. I wonder tonight, on which side of the cross are you tonight? This man's hanging on a cross and he's dying. I'm talking about this thief. And I'm sure he was finding it difficult to talk. As he was under pressure, as he was hanging there, he knew he was going to die. And I'm sure with every ounce of energy, he tries just to get those words out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." With every ounce of energy that he could muster, he's calling out to the Lord Jesus Christ in his last hours, maybe last moments, crying out for God's salvation. What a saying we want to look at this evening. What an event in Scripture. I believe it's the greatest example in the Word of God of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think of this thief for a few moments this evening. I want you to think about the amazing grasp he had tonight. I don't believe he would ever have been in a meeting like this. I'm pretty sure of it. I don't believe he had a copy of the Scriptures, even the Scriptures that were available then. It's possibly unlikely he'd ever heard of Jesus Christ before. This was probably the first time he'd ever laid eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, this man hanging on the cross has an understanding that's amazing this evening. He had an amazing grasp. He understood his own sinfulness. Look at verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Here's one of them, and he's just interested in himself, interested in being saved from the cross. But then this other one, he takes a different view. And he's described, both of them are described as malefactors. They were evildoers. We don't know what they did. They were outlaws of some description. Whatever they did must have been bad enough to merit death. Both of them were sentenced to death. Matthew describes them in Matthew 27 verse 42 as thieves. Malefactors and thieves. It says in Matthew 27, 44, "The thieves also, both of them, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." There was a time when this man was not only a thief, not only was he sentenced to death, but he was blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing initially when he was hanging on the cross. He's a robber. He's a mocker. He's a hell-deserving sinner. Can you see his sinfulness tonight? But you know, that would never save him. You and I can spot sin in other people quite easily, can't we? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you're an expert at spotting sin in others. And we can find fault in other people. All of us at times are guilty of this. But this man's not looking to anyone else. This man is looking to himself. Look at verse 39 again. "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed in him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other," this is our man this evening, "answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." This man realizes his own sinfulness, realizes he's condemned, realizes he's receiving the due reward of his deeds. Something happened to this man. He was hanging on the cross, a guilty, vile sinner, sentenced to death. He was blaspheming, railing the Lord Jesus Christ, casting the same in his teeth. But something happened. He has a change. And he realizes he's going to die. And he realizes he's a sinner. God has been working in his heart. And I wonder tonight, has the Lord been working in your heart? I would think this man, before he was hanging on the cross, had no thought of heaven and had no thought of hell. But But now he's considering eternity. He's considering his latter end tonight. Maybe something has happened in your life to cause you to think about eternity. Maybe you've lost someone near and dear to you, and tonight they're in the glory. And you know that if you want to be with them one day, if you want to have that reunion in glory, you're going to have to be saved. Maybe a close friend has been taken from you. You realize that you're not ready tonight. You're not ready if something was to happen tonight and God has been working in your heart, maybe through circumstances, maybe through the Word of God in some way. You've heard the message and God has been working for some time and he's brought you in here tonight. And like this thief hanging on the cross, something's happening in your life. And you understand tonight that you need to be saved. You need to get right with Christ this evening. You see, you and I can see the sinfulness of this thief, but that won't save him. He needs to see it himself, and you need to see it tonight, or you'll never be saved. If you don't understand tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you'll never be in God's heaven, because naught that defileth shall ever enter in. And you need to see tonight your own sinfulness in the sight of a holy God. Don't make the mistake that many of us have made before we were saved, comparing our lives to other people and thinking we're not too bad. I want you to look to Christ tonight, the sinless, spotless Son of God, and see that you're a sinner tonight in his sight. You see the amazing grasp this man has. He recognized his own sinfulness. There's something else he recognized. He recognized the sinlessness of Christ. Look at verse 41. And we indeed justly, he realized that he was guilty. He realized he was condemned. He realized he was getting what he deserved, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man, that's Christ, has done nothing amiss. He knew something about Christ. He realized that he had done nothing wrong. There was something about him that set him apart from other people. I don't know what the thief understood. I don't know how he came to that conclusion. Maybe he listened to the Lord Jesus Christ and he's led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears, he's dumb. He never opened his mouth. Others would have shouted and protested their innocence, but there was something special about Christ, something different about him. I'm sure he heard him cry that first cry as he looked down in that crowd that had begged for his blood and said about Barabbas, not this man. They wanted Christ to be crucified. And they said, away with him, crucify him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is looking down over the crowd that nailed him to the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This thief had never witnessed anything like this in his life. He had never seen anyone. He had never heard anyone like Jesus Christ. And he realizes there's something special about Christ. Thousands had been crucified. But this man was different. This man hath done nothing amiss. The Bible tells us he knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. You see the grasp this thief had tonight? He understands his own sinfulness tonight. He understands the sinlessness of Christ. Do you understand that this evening? He understood the sovereignty of the Lord. Look at verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He calls him Lord. He talks about a future kingdom. He realizes he's a king. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about it for a moment. You know, when Peter was present at that miraculous catch of fish, Peter just fell at the feet of the Lord. And he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I can understand that. I can understand when you see a miracle, when you see something amazing happen, and you see the Lord Jesus Christ in front of you, and you'll have to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, like Peter. I can understand even Thomas, who was the doubter, When he looked at the prints in the hands and in the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, my Lord and my God. I can understand that tonight. But here's a thief hanging on a cross, and he's looking over at the Lord Jesus Christ. His visage is so marred, more than any other man. On his head was a crown of thorns. He's hanging stark naked on a cross. His hair would have been a mess. There'd have been blood all over him. Even the very saliva that they spat in his face, no doubt is running down his face. His back was like a plowed field. And he's nailed to a cross. And I say it reverently, Christ must have looked a pathetic sight. But this man looks at him and he says, Lord! He realizes there's something special about Christ. It took faith for him to call someone hanging on a cross Lord. And I say it graciously tonight. You should be ashamed tonight. Ashamed tonight. We've got a complete scripture tonight. We know all about Calvary tonight. We know that Jesus died and was buried and rose again victorious. We know he's coming back. You know so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. So much more than this thief knew. And yet, you've never bowed the knee and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you see the amazing grasp this man had this evening? He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had a wonderful faith. He called him Lord. He believed that he was coming into a kingdom. This man who looked upon Christ in such a condition. And Jack recognizes him as Lord and King. What an amazing grasp. You see his own sinfulness tonight. That's where we have to begin. He recognized the sinlessness of Christ, that Christ wasn't dying for his own sin. He was dying for this man's sin. He recognized the sovereignty of Christ. He is Lord and King. He recognized the seriousness of the situation. Look at verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? This man feared God. Paul said there is no fear of God before their eyes. We live in a day and age when there's no fear of God. Listen to the comedians, read the papers, look at the magazines, watch the television, watch Parliament. Look at the laws that are passed. Look at what's going on in the world. And listen, generally speaking, in our province and in our United Kingdom, there's no fear of God tonight. This man feared God. This man feared the condemnation of God. He feared the wrath of God. He's not praying that the Lord would save his life. He's not even concerned about the pain that he's having to endure. This man is more concerned about his soul. Fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This man didn't want to go to hell. The new time is limited. He knew his opportunity was limited. Never had a Bible, never heard a sermon, but he looks on the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears what the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He saw his demeanor. He saw how he had behaved. He watched the sort of man he was. There was something special about Christ. And he realizes if he's not going to go to hell, this is his time, his opportunity. It's now or never. And maybe that's the same for you tonight. It's now or never. You've kicked it into touch before. You've been waiting and waiting for the right moment. Listen, there'll never be a better time for you to get saved than now. And there'll never be an easier time for you to get saved than now. The longer you push it out, the longer you put it off, the more difficult it's going to become. This man had repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He turns from his sin and he turns from his companion. And maybe that's what you're going to have to do tonight. You're going to have to turn from your sin. Maybe the reason you're not saved is because of a companion. I was taking a gospel mission up in County Londonderry, not County Antrim, up in County Londonderry. And there were a couple who waited behind and she really wanted to get saved. She'd felt under conviction the night before, and she didn't speak to me, and she went home and told her husband and brought her husband to the meeting, and both waited behind, and she was just edging to get saved. But the husband kept pouring cold water on it and saying, "No, not just yet, not just yet, not just yet." And both of them left without Christ. The best thing she could have done for her husband was to take Christ home with her. Mommy, tonight, the best thing you can do for your family is to take Christ home with you. Daddy, you want to be a good father? You take Christ home with you. You need Christ tonight. Maybe there's a friend tonight and they're holding you back from trusting the Lord. This man had to turn his back on his friend and turn to Christ. Oh, he could have remained loyal to his friend and he'd have died and gone to hell. But he had to turn his back on his friend and turn to Christ and take Christ as his Savior. You see the amazing grasp this man had? You see the amazing grace tonight? As I said, I don't think there's a greater example of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at in the whole of the Bible, look at the request he makes in verse 42. "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here's a down and out, deep, dark, dyed sinner. He's looking into the eyes of a dying Savior. He cries, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Here's a man, and he's nailed to a cross. You know, he couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't put his hands in his pockets and pay for anything. He couldn't join a church. He couldn't get baptized. There's so many things he couldn't do. But see, none of those things were essential for salvation. This man is nailed to a cross. There's so much that he can't do. Thank God he could get saved. And so can you tonight. And maybe you're looking to your church. You're looking to some sacrament. You're looking to some ritual. You know, this man is saying, "Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling." And Christ wants you just to come the way you are this evening. Forget about the rituals. Forget about the church. Forget about whatever you're depending on. Just come to Christ tonight. This man is proof tonight that baptism's not essential for salvation. Joining the church is not essential for salvation. Doing something's not essential. He couldn't do a thing. All he could do was get saved. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What amazing grace. You see the request, and then you see the response in verse number 43. "And Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. If there ever was an undeserving person, this thief was undeserving. I had up in Rathfriland, and a little lady lives close to us, and one of the bank holidays recently, we saw people standing around the house, and then we heard that she'd been burgled. And I'd called over to see her, and she was showing me where he came in to the bedroom, and he took all her gold and took her wedding ring and her engagement ring from her late husband. Is there anything more lousy than a thief? And yet here's someone who was a thief. And he turns from his sin and he turns to Christ and he finds grace. Let me say tonight, it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what sin you think. Maybe you have been guilty of being a thief. Maybe it's not real for you tonight. And maybe you think because of that black mark, you'll never get saved. Because of that black mark, no one's ever going to take you seriously. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Doesn't matter what you've done tonight. All of us were ill-deserving, undeserving, hell-deserving sinners. This man could do nothing. This man needed to do nothing. Jesus Christ was doing everything. And he wants you to come tonight as a sinner, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through Jesus Christ this evening. Think about some of those who spoke to Christ when he's hanging on the cross. In Matthew 27, we read they shouted, "Thou, save thyself if thou be the Son of God, and come down from the cross." Again in Matthew's Gospel, "Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." And people were shouting at him to save yourself, save yourself. They were mocking him. And here's a man says, "Save me," and the Lord hears him. And I'm sure it must have been noisy around Calvary that day. As I said, I can't imagine the physical pain, never mind the spiritual battle the Lord was going through. When he was hanging on that cross, what agony and shame. And yet he heard the faint cry of this thief. And everything stops because there's a soul that wants to be saved. Do you see how selfless he was? Do you see the love that Jesus Christ has for those who don't know him tonight? And I can say to you tonight in this meeting, this evening, the Lord is listening. And he's listening for that cry just to come from your heart this evening. Lord, save me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see the amazing grasp this man had. You see the amazing grace that reached this man and saved him. And then you see the amazing glory. Look at verse 43. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What a wonderful promise. Verily, truly, I say unto thee, the Lord Jesus Christ said, what a promise, what a period. Verily I say unto thee, today, the moment he would close his eyes in death, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know what this thief understood? That death wasn't the end. Are you foolish enough to think tonight that when someone dies, that's it? It's all over? Van Morrison said, "I wouldn't touch religion with a 40-foot barge pole." Today he buried his mum in East Belfast. If she doesn't know Christ and he doesn't know Christ, neither of them's going to be in heaven. They can touch what they like with a 40-foot barge pole. This is real tonight. This is really important for you this evening. Death is not the end. This thief realizes. And the Lord Jesus Christ confirms it. He talks about a period. He talks about a place. "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Revelation 21 verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know, I long for a place like that. Last April, my dad slipped out into eternity. It's the first time I really came face to face with the death of someone really close. And it's painful. And it's heartbreaking. And I long for that day when there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. I long for it. And that's the hope of every believer tonight. And this thief, can you imagine the agony he's in? Can you imagine the pain as he's hanging on the cross? And the Lord Jesus says, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." He would go from the agony of the cross to the pleasure of paradise. What an amazing Savior we have tonight. What an amazing salvation we have tonight. And you still don't have it. But here's the special thing. Did you notice the person? The Lord Jesus says, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Can you imagine being with Christ for all eternity? "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me." Yes, I look forward to meeting my Father in heaven. I look forward to meeting saints in glory. But you know, I look forward most of all to meeting Christ. What a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. Do you see the amazing grasp tonight? What an understanding this man had. And he hasn't half the privileges you have. But he understood that he was a sinner. He understood the sinlessness of Christ. He understood that Christ wasn't dying for his sin, his own sin. He was dying for the sins of the world. Do you see the amazing grace? This thief, if there ever was someone undeserving, he cries out and the Lord hears. Do you see the amazing glory? The Lord answers and gives him this assurance, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And in a moment, from being a condemned sinner, he's a saved soul and he's ready for heaven and ready for home. It could happen to you tonight. What a change you'd experience in this meeting this evening. Let me finish off very quickly with what I've called an amazing gap. There's been some foolish mistakes made by many, many people. Now, I'm no fan of Harry Potter. I've never read it. I don't know anything about it. So don't be saying anything to the door about Harry Potter. But I do know this, that it's very popular. When J.K. Rowling had prepared the first manuscript, she sent it off to some of the publishing houses. 11 of them sent it back and said it was a waste of time. She has made £1 billion. Out of her Harry Potter books, no matter what you think of them. What a gaffe those publishing houses made. That's nothing to the gaffe this man made. Not the one who cried out today, or cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom, but the other one. The other one who said, save thyself and us. He was praying that God would save his life, not save his soul. He had the exact same opportunity as the other man. He's right beside the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's within hearing distance of him. He had the exact same opportunity. He heard whatever the other man heard. He saw whatever the other man saw. He had exactly the same. And yet one dies and goes to heaven and one dies and goes to hell. I have in my mind that these two men would have been friends. I believe they'd have grown up together. I believe they'd have played together. I believe they'd have thieved together. I believe they were as thick as thieves, literally speaking. And here one of them's going to heaven and one of them's going to hell. And how sad it is to see that separation. How sad it is for you to see some of your family saved by the grace of God. You've grown up with them, you've laughed with them, you've played with them, you've loved them, and tonight if they die, they're going to heaven, and you're going to hell. How sad, how tragic. My best friend at school said to me one time, he says, Ian, I want to be rich, but I don't want to work. And true to his name, he got into drugs, he got into gambling, he got into bad company. Last I heard, they were searching for his body in a bog in Cookstown. The police have said he's been missing so long, we're writing him off as dead. He chose a pathway in life that took him away from the Lord. Let me tell you this, his mum is a saved mother tonight and her heart's broken. Took him away from the Lord. Took him to a Christless eternity. And I've never found his body. I grew up with him. I played with him. I laughed with him. I loved him. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight. And maybe a friend has brought you tonight. And that friend's saved tonight, but you're not saved. And the way things stand, there's going to be an awful separation someday. Maybe it's even closer than a friend tonight. Maybe it's a husband tonight. Maybe it's a wife tonight. What an awful separation. For one of you to be lost in hell for all eternity. One man makes the right decision. The other one makes the wrong decision. One says, Lord, save. One says, save me from death. The other says, save me from hell. One is a firebrand plucked from the burning. something just ready to go up in smoke and to disappear in a second, but he's saved. This man was saved on the verge of eternity. A brand plucked from the burning, the other straight into the burning of hell. Brought up together, lived together, played together, enjoyed each other, loved each other, one in heaven, one in hell. Is that the way it is for you tonight? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, there may you, though vile as he, wash all your sins away. Will you come to Calvary tonight? Will you trust Christ tonight? Sure, you've often heard the story about the old wise man. And the young man tried to take a hand out of him one day, and he caught a little bird in his hand, and he says, "Old wise man, is the bird living or is dead?" Now, if the wise man had have said, "It's dead," he would have let it go. If the wise man had have said, "It's living," he would have crushed it to death. The wise man just looked at him and said, "Son, it's up to you. And it's up to you tonight. Life with a capital L or death without Christ. It's up to you tonight." Let's bow in a moment's prayer. I don't want to multiply words tonight. I believe I've said enough, but more importantly, I believe the Lord has said enough tonight. The Lord has been speaking to you specifically tonight, very directly tonight, very personally tonight. Let me say this, I didn't know who you were coming, and I don't know who you are. But the Lord knows tonight. And the Lord has brought you in here because he wants you to make that right decision tonight. He wants you to have that blessed assurance that Jesus truly is yours. You want to get saved tonight? You can get saved where you sit. Simply do what this thief did. He recognized he was a sinner. Maybe you're saying tonight, "I'm no thief." Listen, it's not the amount of sin, it's the fact of sin. Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize that Christ was sinlessly perfect and he died for my sin. And I'm turning my back on my sin. And I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. You could do that just where you sit now. Will you do it? I encourage you tonight, if you've trusted the Lord, please let us know as you leave. If you want to speak to myself or Pastor Lyle, we'll be at the door. We're happy to take time with you and to tell you how you can get right with Christ tonight. Maybe you'd like a little booklet. Maybe you just want to read some more. We'll have booklets as you leave. If you ask me for it, you'll get it. No questions asked. If you're concerned about your soul tonight, we're here to help you tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. For the amazing grace that saved that wretched thief on the cross. And Lord, that amazing grace that can save any man, woman, young person in this meeting this evening. We pray tonight, Lord, that there'll be those who will not spurn the day of grace. But Lord, embrace tonight by accepting Christ as their Savior and leaving here with that hope in their hearts that one day they'll be with Christ for all eternity. For we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I'll ask Dennis to come and close the meeting.